If I pass 30 minutes, don't bring your offering. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Let's continue from where we stopped last Sunday. We are looking at the destiny of a Christian. I spoke about it last Sunday, continued last Friday night, hoping to end under 30 minutes today. We stopped at hallelujah. I quoted John 1 verse 18 and John 6 verse 46, where the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten of the Father, he has declared him. And John 6 46 says, Jesus Christ, is the only one that has seen the Father. No human being has seen the Father. Only Jesus Christ has seen the Father. No human being. Remember, what we are looking at, for those of you hearing us for the first time, so that you can flow with us, we are looking at the destiny of a Christian. What are we destined for? There is a destiny, the reason why God called you to be a Christian. That is the destiny. The reason why God called you to be a Christian, that is your destiny. God did not save you so that you will become millionaire. God did not save you for any other purpose, so that you be a professor somewhere or any profession to excel. The world believes that is your destiny. You are destined to be like this, you are destined to be like that, according to philosophers, according to the men of the world. But this Bible tells us that our destiny, where God has destined every one of us that he called to Christianity, our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Why I am saying this is because of the program that is coming up. It is making your calling and election sure. What am I trying to be proving all these past series we have been taking is that every one of us, we are called. We are called. But the call of God is confused. And people need to understand what the call of God really is. And the interesting thing that we need to know about this process of salvation, about this call of God, where he says, come to me. That is the call. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That call is written in so many languages, in so many frames in the Bible. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever believeth, it means anybody that wants, you can believe. You see? But again, the Bible tells us, although the invitation seems to be for everybody, the Bible says that no one can truly come to Jesus Christ except the Father we sent him, call him according to John 6:44. Now, so it is important that we understand this call. And why it is important for us to understand the statement that Peter said. He said, be diligent. Diligence here connotes seriousness, carefulness. You know, he said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Why did he say so? Because we have two types of call. You see? We have two types of call. And it is defined in Jesus Christ himself. Personally, calling his 12 disciples. 12 disciples were personally called. I remember Jesus Christ said, I do nothing except what the Father showed me. So the fact that he called Peter, it means as he was going, the Father said, call Peter. So he would go to Peter. Peter, follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. Peter began to follow him. And every one of them, James and all of them, actually, all of them, everyone that he called, it was the Father that showed him before he called them. But the Father showed him Judas also. That's an interesting aspect. Hallelujah. And in John chapter 6, he told them, he said, have I not called all of you? But one of you is a devil. He said, one of you is a devil. So God can call devil? Yes. For what? For a purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These two groups of people are the ones defined in Romans chapter 8 verse 28. The two groups are there. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. This is one group. And to them, who are they called according to his purpose? So, God called Peter for a purpose. God called Judas for a purpose. But if God called you 12 people, where are my disciples that I called? The 11 of them will run. And Judas too will run. God called me too. God called me too. And if I say, if God called you to salvation here, put up your hand. All of us will put up our hand, including Judas. Here now. And can you argue with Judas that Jesus didn't call him? Judas, God called him the same way he called Peter. And do you know what? The call of Judas is even more divine than Peter. Because he called him and gave him appointment in the church. The highest office holder among the 12 was Judas. And so, Judas will have thought that he's a special person. If I'm not better than you, Peter, then why God not call you and give you the type of office that I have? Can't you see how many branches I have all over the world? Can't you see how popular I am? Everywhere I go, anywhere I reach, and you say, God not call me. No, God not call me. But, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. But the end of the whole matter proves which type of God the two of them belong. That's why Peter said, be diligent. Ensure, be sure of the type of call that God call you. That is all we have been hammering on. Be sure of the type of call that God call you. Is it a Judas call or a Peter call? Why did Peter say, be diligent to making your calling and election sure? Election. Why he said? He said, calling and election. Why? Because many are called, few are chosen. Few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Very few are chosen. So Peter is telling us, and that is what we are arranging this program for. Because those who are chosen, there is something he does with them. You see, that's all our emphasis. Those that he has chosen, after he called everybody, then those he has chosen, there's something he does with them that makes them different from the rest. The Bible calls them his elect. Now, those that are choosing, elected from those that are called, the few that are choosing from those that are called, they are choosing to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So until you see yourself manifesting all the attributes of Christ, then begin to question your own call. Because those who are elected, hallelujah, remember during the night vigil, amen, verse 30 of Romans chapter 8, it says that moreover, whom he has predestinated, them he called. Predestination according to foreknowledge. Whom he called, he justifies and glorifies. You see? So, if you say you are among the chosen ones, hallelujah, you will be justified. You see why I say, somebody is saying, God called me too. I have branches everywhere. In America, in Asia, everywhere. And yet, the person is still not justified. There are general overseers that have not yet been justified. Oh, you won't understand my language. I'm talking to the bride. There is a language I speak that you will understand me. What does it mean for a man to be justified? The process of justification is the process whereby a man stands before God as if he has never sinned before. And that process is the process of proper water baptism. It is only those through foreknowledge he has predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. They are those that he will call. After he has called, many are called, he will choose his own elect and justify them. They are the only ones that he will grant the revelation of the correct water baptism. That is why I say I am talking to the bride. Up till tomorrow, there are people that if you open Matthew 28 verse 19, they don't know the meaning. Baptism, yes, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They put inside water and come out. Have they baptized? They have not baptized because you have not yet called the name and they don't know the name. There are Jews that don't know the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. But it is not given to everyone to know it. That is the interesting thing, brethren. Only those, hallelujah, only his elect from among those that he called. Everyone that is carrying his Bible and going to church this morning has been called. They have been called, brother, they have been called. They had the voice. That woman pastor has been called. She had the voice. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every people from the Pope of Rome to that pastor that just started his own last month. Everyone, they have been called. But among those called, there are many millions, billions. Among them, few are choosing. Those who are choosing, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The first thing he will do with them, he will justify them. They are the only ones that will know correct water baptism. Then after he has justified you, then what does he do? He glorifies you. Glorification here is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let me tell you, you don't know the first step of salvation. How can you know the next step? You don't know the meaning of justification. How can you understand glorification? And that's why somebody tells you, that you are born again because you open your mouth and say, from today I give my life to Christ. Did you say so? Yes, sir. You are born again. Is it? They will never know it. And they are busy evangelizing in the streets. And they are busy evangelizing in the streets. Are you born again? Yes, I tell before yesterday, I am born again. I'm now born again. Then he carry Bible. Then every time he's reading Bible, studying the Bible. No! Go beyond that. Oh, your Pentecostal Jew tells you that speaking in tongues is the evidence that you receive the Holy Ghost. So everybody speaking in tongues. I am glorified. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my name that's speaking in tongues. But you know better. That speaking in tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You know better. That you are seeing vision is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The same anointing,
amen and amen,
that was given to Judas was given to the apostles, 70 of them. Go tread upon scorpions, cast out devils, heal the sick. Every commission was given to them, 70 of them, including Judas. And they went, and they came back in Luke chapter 10. Master, hey, come and see as demons they fall down. When I said take it, they will fall down. Yakata. I said take it again, they will stand up. Oh, Master, see as demons they scream when they see me. And Jesus looked at him. Oh, can we read that scripture? Can we read it? Luke chapter 10. Let me read it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, the first thing he did, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. People don't know the meaning of that statement in verse 18. What Jesus is saying is this. He saw all of them. He saw all of them rejoicing. Rejoicing because of the anointing. And he looked at them. That is how Satan was too in heaven. He was busy celebrating anointing. He was busy celebrating how great he was. How? He said, oh, I beheld Satan falling down from heaven. And then verse 19. Listen to what he said. Behold, I am the one. I, Jesus, give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. 70 of them, oh! And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Then he added in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. Church, give them brother, give them sister, mighty man of God, Pastor Moses, Alu, when you stand at the altar, demons will scream. That is not your testimony. That's what Jesus Christ said. What is your testimony? Hallelujah. But rather rejoice because your names are written in. What are you to rejoice for? Because your name is written in heaven. Where is it written in heaven? And when was it written? It is written in the book of life. When was it written? Before the foundation of the world. God's elect, through foreknowledge, predestinated. That is where the mystery of salvation is. I've been hammering this for the past 3 weeks. Because this knowledge will change your perception of Christianity. So that it can help you. Instead of looking at the anointing always, it will help you also to look inward to your life. You see? If you see the frequency that our brethren in this church go to the mountain, ha! Elder Ima in my car, we were coming this morning to church, and I was telling him, I said, brother, do you know that prayer cannot make you a Christian? And I quickly added, I said, I am not against prayer. I said, but some people think that by being prayerful, you become a Christian. If it is so, then this church will have produced the best Christians in the whole world. But the evidence of what I am saying is true is that it is those who are praying every day that are the most carnal in this church. So prayer only can never make you a Christian. Fasting only can never make you a Christian. No, it's more than that. Deeper than that. You put the cart before the horse. Yes. But when, look, listen to what I want to say. When an unconverted person, hallelujah, becomes prayerful, listen to what I want to say. Somebody who is not converted and is becoming prayerful and is anointed and he prays and something happens, listen, that is what William Branham said. He said, gift without character is satanic. Those are the people, as they come down from that mountain, after spending 1 week, 2 weeks in the mountain, go and confirm the effect of the prayer. You touch that person and him, or offend that person in any way, the next thing you will say, if you let me go to the mountain, take your name to the mountain, you will know who I am. He sees that prayer as a weapon of destruction, because inside of him is a spirit of destruction, and he has gotten a weapon that he can use to satisfy that nature. You touch me, I will carry your name to the mountain. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ, the image that we are supposed to conform to, hallelujah, when he came back from the mountain, each time he goes for prayer, he comes back from the mountain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will peep and he will look at the offering box. He will notice that Judas, he don't spend everything finished. Never one day did Jesus rebuke Judas. When Satan, after 40 days and 40 nights, in the presence of God in the wilderness, when he came back, Satan came to him to tempt him. If now you, Pastor Moses, if now you, after 40 days and 40 nights, then this demon is the reason why I suffer these 40 days, 40 nights. Constantly challenge me. If you're a man of God, if you're a man of God, Pastor Moses, what will you do? If I know the Holy Ghost fire on you. If I know the Holy Ghost fire on him. That's the difference between Pastor Moses and Jesus. And that is evidence that Pastor Moses, there is still a lot of work more to be done. The image of Jesus Christ is not yet formed. Church, our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the whole thing we are saying. For you to know and say, yes, I am a Christian, church. It is not because you are speaking in tongues. It's not because when I lay hand on the sick, the sickness will disappear. It is a character. It is a character. It is a character. And I told you that the essence of Jesus Christ going to the cross on Calvary. Remember, that is God's own way of fulfilling his purpose for man. Genesis 1:26, he said, what did he say? Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And God created the man. Male and female created him. And he placed them in the garden. But Satan scattered that image. And all of us now, we are putting on the image of our father, the devil. Because he took over. But God had to redeem his children. So how will he do it? He brought Jesus Christ. Because man has lost how the image of God should look like. And the image of God is not his pointed nose or the color of his skin. The image of God is his characteristics. And the characteristic of God is what God wanted to display to the whole world when he brought his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ says, because Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You cannot see God in any way because he's a spirit. And so the only way to know him, you know him by his characteristics. Satan is known by his characteristics. God too is known by his characteristics. But how will you know the characteristics of God? God had to come in the form of a man. Emmanuel. Jesus was Emmanuel. I hope we know that. I hope we know that. Jesus was Emmanuel. God with us. That man that they were stoning and kicking anyhow on the streets of Galilee, he, it was our creator they were kicking like that. That's another mystery. That's a mystery that no other religion can understand. I repeat, that man that was hanging on the cross of Calvary was our father. The creator of the whole heavens and the earth was hanging on the cross of Calvary. The whole earth knows his maker. I hope you know that. Every creature knows their maker. It's only human beings that don't know their maker. The Bible says, when the blood of Jesus right on the cross touched the earth reacted. There was earthquake. People don't know why there was earthquake that day. The whole earth shook. Why? The blood of an innocent man, the blood of the creator of the heavens and the earth, it touched the earth. Why would the earth not shake? Because he was coming to solve a matter. Remember that the earth was caused for the sake of Adam. Hallelujah. And so the earth had to be consecrated. The blood of Jesus Christ touched the earth, and that curse was broken. That curse was broken. Oh, I have met carnal people. I have met carnal ministers. When you are conducting deliverance and somebody fall under anointing, ha! And then they say, this cannot be God. This cannot be God. Ha! Even the earth, when the earth was receiving deliverance, the earth shook. This earth, when God was doing deliverance to break a curse, the earth shook. It shook, and the children of God that we are buried on the ground in Jerusalem, the grave opened. That earth shook, and the grave opened, showing that death has no power again over God's children. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, the man that was walking in the shores of Galilee was God himself in the flesh. The Bible tells me so. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. It says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The creator of the heavens and the earth manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. God the creator, Emmanuel, God with us. Why did he come like that? He came to show the carnal man what the image of God is. And so, let's go now to John 14. I don't pass by 3 minutes. I beg. I go soon. I will not. It's so strong. If I continue further, don't bring your offering. John 14. Are we there? Are we there? Last week, this is where we stopped. Let not your heart be troubled, verse 1. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I told you what those mansions are. They are not the houses in the Koyo. They are the mansions that are sitting down here today. But these are earthly mansions. But the mansions we are believing God for, they are the heavenly mansions. There is the terrestrial body and there is the celestial body. The celestial body is the mansions that Jesus Christ went to prepare for us. And I told you last week that he didn't go to prepare it in heaven. He went to prepare that body on Calvary 3. On the cross of Calvary, he prepared a place for you. He prepared a place for me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, where I am going, you know. And the way, you know. Why did he say so? He dropped it. And Thomas, who was listening, there are people that only hear, they don't listen. If you listen, if I make mistake, you will know. But if you're only hearing, you just be hearing my voice. And when you see other people clapping, you too, you will join hand and clap. You see? You know, there are some people that never clap until they see another person clapping. Eh? But what made that person to clap? You don't even know. Because the person clapping was following. And if you are following, there are times that you will jump up and shout, yes, sir. And at that, you will just, you don't know when your hands start clapping because you are following. There's an anointing in it. But there are some people that will wait. When those who are following, they clap, then those who are hearing, they will clap because they heard the clap. Let's serve in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thomas was listening because he said it deliberately and dropped it. He just said, where I am going, you know. The way that I'm going, you know. Ha! Thomas. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not without thou goest, so how can we know the way? He's honest now. We don't know. We don't know. I'm not in that kind of person where anything pastor said, amen. 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 No. Let me know. I go say, I know. I don't know. Then Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Hey! Glory be to God. Maybe Thomas was expecting that he would give him a sketch map of a place. A description. When you take a bus, you go to the airport. Then when you reach, you take this. Maybe that's what he was expecting. But he said, the way I am going, you know. Where I am going, you know the way. And you know where I am going. Thomas, we don't know where you go. How can we know the way? No, be when I know where you go, before I can know the way. I am emphasizing. Jesus said unto him, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you see, the Father is where I am going. The way, now maybe this. Every one of us, we are hoping to go to the Father. That is where Jesus Christ says, where I am going, you know. Everybody came here today supposedly to meet with the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is our Father. That is where we are going. When we sing the song, I'm on my way to glory land. The glory land is God's presence. The presence that we lost in the Garden of Eden. That is where we are going. And you tell your neighbor, if you won't go, don't hinder me. Hallelujah. It is not Oshodi. It is not America. No. We are talking about that presence that we lost in the Garden of Eden. And to return to that place, Jesus is the way. He is the way. Okay, let me finish with that. Verse 7. He said, if you had known me, if you know me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Ha! Another nugget. Hey, Thomas! Touch her, Sister Thomas, listen. Tell her, Sister Thomas, listen. Brother Thomas, listen. Touch her. Sister Thomas, listen. Brother Thomas, listen. Listen. Hallelujah. If you know Jesus, that's what my servant is saying. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. If you don't know who Jesus is, you can never know who his Father is. He said, and from henceforth, from now on, you know him because you have seen him. Huh? Another one, verse 8. Philip again now, this one. Philip now said, Thomas, wait, this man. Say another thing. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Oh, this one, wait, they say, no. Show us now, where the Papa, where the Father. Show us the Father. Ha, verse 9, Jesus said unto him, ha, Philip, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, Philip. Why are you saying you should show me the Father again? I should show you the Father. Church, hallelujah. I have told you something. Anytime you go to pray and fast, Father, I want to see you. Father, reveal yourself to me. Who will appear? Ask the person that will appear. And if he stands, he says, Jesus, give me a chance now. Not be you. I want your Father. Jesus, give me a chance now. I don't see you now. I want your Father. The same thing he will tell you. Ha! Brother, sister, have I been so long with you and you still don't know me? Have I not told you if you see me, you see the Father? Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No man will ever see God in his corporate appearance. He's a spirit. But the nature of that spirit, he has never allowed anybody to know it. The reason is because you can never know it. He is so big that if you are to look at him with your naked eye, you will not even see the head on the right, on the left, the top, the down. You will use your eye, you go search. Where you head? So you won't be able to draw him or snap him with your photograph. You can't. You can't say the head of God is like this. You can't say the color of the skin is like this. And above all, his glory is so much. Hey, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A form of him. A form, as at that time Jesus Christ was not yet on earth. A form of him. He allowed a form of him to be seen by Moses. His backside. And you know why he did not allow him to see his face? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? He did not allow him to see his face. Because his face is not to be seen until after the judgment. So he allowed him to see, and it was the backside of a man. That man that he saw was what manifested in the womb of Mary. How many believe that? Hallelujah. And he saw the backside. After he saw the backside, he just finished from the mountain. He was coming down, the congregation of Israel. Just the backside of God was seen. The glory covered him. the Jews could not behold the face of Moses. The glory of God covered that man so much. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. The glory, until human, a man that saw the presence of God, a likeness of God that just passes. Just the likeness, just the likeness. That is why that same God, when just a portion of his is on a man, just a portion of his, of that anointing, of that glory, a little portion is on a man. Peter, as he passed, the shadow was healing the sea. The shadow was healing the sea. Shadow of a man that had just a little glory of God upon him. Ha! That same shadow is upon a man. He's passing by your side, you will fall down on that night. That is the God that we serve. He cannot allow a mortal man to see him. He said, no man can see me and live. The glory of God will kill you. The mortal composition that we are made of cannot withstand the glory of God. If that glory, a man can see that glory, you will that look touch. Even when we go to heaven, we shall not see him. We shall only see his likeness. We shall only see his form. We shall only see his glory. The only man you will ever see who will remain our everlasting Father in the eternal age will still be the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you understand that. That's why the Bible in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 refer to him as our everlasting Father. He's the everlasting Father. He is the one that has declared how God is. He is the way. What does he mean by the way? The way there is character. The way of doing things. Every true child of God, if you want to know how to behave in this human body, look at the character of Jesus Christ. He is the way to behave. Jesus is the way to behave, to be accepted before God. If they slap you here, Jesus Christ say what? Turn the other cheek. It's the way. It's the way. It's the way. They kicked him, he did not revenge. They abused him, he did not revenge. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That is the way. If your own is, let my enemy fall down and die, that is the way of Satan. That's not the way of Jesus. Like it is Satan that kills, that murders, that lies, that fornicates. Yes, now. The Bible calls it the works of the flesh. Jesus is the way. He is the way, the truth. What is the truth? God's word is the truth. He is the truth concerning salvation. The word of truth is in him. He is the manifestation of truth. He said, search the scriptures, in them you think you have life, for they are there that testify of me. He is the word of God made flesh. He is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he is the life. What life? He is a life giver. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you want to live, then you have to come to Jesus to receive life. He that believeth on me should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he proved it by going to the grave of Lazarus. Lazarus, come first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Life, because he came to demonstrate how to give life is to keep your own life for others to live. is in the business of demonstrating love even unto the death on the cross of Calvary. Greater love has no man than this, that the man should die for his friends. He's alive. He's a life giver. We have life today because Jesus Christ gave up his own life. Oh, yes. There are people that say they are vegetarians. Why are you a vegetarian? Because I don't want to kill anything. I don't want to murder. It's a lie. You know, you don't know the principle of life. Vegetarian, listen to me. You are, every plant has life. All those vegetables that you are eating, they have life in them. Before you can live, before life, you can have life, something must die. Before you are here today, sister, brother, before you can wake up today and be alive like this, something has to die. If you go to abattoir, animals are dying every day so that we can have protein. I hope you understand me. It is a law, it's a law of God. It's a law, it's a law. You have, something must die for you to live. That is why Jesus Christ has to die for us to have eternal life. He has to die. So anybody who says, I don't eat meat because I don't want to shed blood. You don't understand life. You are killing one here. Just say, I don't want to kill animals. I only want to kill vegetables. All of them, they have life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you too, you are supposed to live a life of sacrifice. That's why I say that any assistance you will help somebody out of your abundance, it has not, you've not struck it yet. The one that you will help somebody and it will be meaningful is the one that inconveniences you for another person's life to be better. A brother and sister is living on the street, that you can bring him into your house and inconvenience yourself to accommodate that person. That is the sacrifice. That is the life we must emulate of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. By me here is through the way Jesus Christ lived, through the truth he spoke, and through the life he gave out. This is the way. That is the image. That is the image of God. That is the image he has proposed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember that we are born again by the Spirit of God. We are born again by the Spirit of Christ. We are born again. And 1 John chapter 4 verse 17 speaks and says, as he is, so are we in this world. The works that I do, ye shall do also if you believe in me. That's why we are his ambassadors. As you reflect the image of Jesus Christ, you are fulfilling Genesis 1:26. God, through that, has produced his image again on earth. Let us make man in our image. And the only way you can attain the image of Jesus Christ is by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come and get the Holy Ghost. That is the power of transformation. No man can make a sacrifice like that. Every human being is selfish. For you to have the ability to deny yourself something for another person's life to be better, it will take the Holy Ghost. Certainly. For a man to offend you so much, and then instead of revenging, you say, I forgive you, it will take the Holy Ghost. It will take the Holy Ghost. For you to know that if I tell the truth, I will be in trouble. And yet, despite the trouble, you still speak the truth. It will take the Holy Ghost. For a man that is healthy, to see a naked woman offering herself free, no human being around, nobody know you, nobody see what you are doing, and you say, no, cover yourself, I know to harm, it is not your willpower. When it comes to willpower, every healthy man, the willpower no reach that side. Every man will look and say, Lord, this woman, you are tempting me, you are tempting me. Hey, you are tempting me, you are tempting me. Paul said, flee fornication. He didn't say run away from fornication. What is it? Flee. Go to the story of Joseph. You will know what is flee. He jumped through window. The holy cloth, he removed from him. He ran. Flee fornication. It will take the Holy Ghost for you to do what Joseph did. Nobody is around. She offered herself freely. Then you bring cloth and say, sister, cover yourself. I am born again. How many people can do that? Put that your hands. Shall we stand up? Let's stand up. To be like Jesus. To be on a time. Let's sing it, everybody. To be like Jesus. Give me that grace. Give me the Holy Ghost. Give me that grace. Give me the Holy Ghost. And it is not a prayer you pray in the church. It's a prayer you pray in your closet because it needs sincere approach. You want to sit down and consider yourself. If Christ come now, na hell are they go. There's a marriage that is going on between Christ and Abraham. He is dressing them. He is dressing us. You don't know how the bride of Jesus Christ should look like in the spirit. Are we ready now? Bring one. Let them see how one looks like. Let's take 10 minutes and show you a bride. Let's show you a bride. Are they ready? Let them dance.